It's Rob and Brent and my Reggie dude. And don't forget, it also features Dawson too. We gonna give you all the dope reviews. But first, we'll hit on all the movie news. Cha-ching, cha-ching, box office due. In between the news and the reviews, there's not a lot that we don't do. So turn the volume up, cause we coming through. Put your headphones on and tie your shoes. Jackman and Grant, we got all the views. We're like Brando and Godfather 2. We're gonna make a podcast you can't refuse. This is the Cinema Chat Podcast, and we know a lot about movies.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. It's another episode of Cinema Chat Podcast with Rob and Brent and Reggie featuring Dawson. I'm Brent.
I'm Rob.
I'm Reggie.
And I'm featuring Dawson.
Oh, man. This show is off the rails. If you're not here live, you can't see how much fun we're having. This is going to be probably a little shorter than normal. Reggie has a hard out, so we want to get through things pretty quickly. Let's talk about some shit. Hard out.
What did we watch this week?
I said out.
Give you a pee.
Not hard on.
He's got a boner.
The news real soon. First, listen to this little tune. Give us the attention we seek while we tell you what we watch this week.
It's going to be a weird week, everyone. I actually don't really have much to talk about in what did we watch this week, so.
What do you mean?
I don't have a lot to talk about. I watched WrestleMania.
That's at least like 8 hours of entertainment.
I watched WrestleMania. I love WrestleMania. It's great. It was fantastic.
What else did you watch this week, Brent?
I don't know. Did I watch something else?
Only life-changing experience that you cannot get on television, movies, or anywhere else. Only in real life. You touched grass today, brother.
I didn't know touching grass and seeing real life counted. I saw the total eclipse in totality.
Yeah, total eclipse of my heart.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, it was pretty cool, Drew. Pretty cool.
Yeah. I bet.
Yeah. I saw the total thing too. We drove up to Maine to catch it. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
How far of a drive is that for you?
Too fucking far. Like, we drove up Sunday so that we would only be like an hour or so away, and then spent the night in Augusta, then drove like an hour and a half, and then it was like what should have been a 3.5 hour drive home took like 5 hours.
Hey, Rob, why don't you tell us what you watched this week? wait, we can't because you took your headphones off and walked away when we were discussing. Thanks.
That's really all I watched. But what about you, okay. Dawson?
I watched WrestleMania with Brent and a couple of people. We did a watch party. That was fun. Thanks for people that came in and hung out with us. We talked about it. We're probably going to do a movie watch party at some point, but we'll give people enough advance notice where it's not just like, hey, we're doing this now.
Yeah.
I watched Three Body Problem. I watched that last week. I don't know if I finished that last week or not, but I finished that. It's fantastic. It's also this week I spent more time listening to the audiobooks. So I was listening to the Three Body Problem audiobook. And there's like two other ones. I haven't got to those yet. It's the first one's like, it's like a 28 hour listen. So I'm going through that. It's good. I'm hooked. But I was, as I'm like digging into this book, I learned that the author of Three Body Problem had a movie that came out a couple years ago. I had never seen it. It's like the highest grossing movie in China's history or something like that. Mm. Now it's like the fifth highest grossing movie in China history. It's called The Wandering Earth.
I watched that. The author did that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that author wrote the story for Wandering Earth, Three Body Problem. There's two other books in the Three Body Problem series. But yeah, same author. I thought they were part of the same series because like on Amazon you can buy a book pack and it's got four books. It's got the Wandering Earth as part of the Three Body Problem trilogy on Amazon, but it's not connected. It could be. It's a weird concept of like we're gonna strap 10,000 massive thrusters to the Earth, and we're going to get out of the solar system before our sun expands and just destroys everything. So we're going to try to make this 2,500-year journey as Earth, as a spaceship. It's not great, but decent enough, I think. I mean, it's on Netflix. There's a second one that came out, which is a prequel, so I'll probably try to get onto that and watch that. And then all the normal like TV stuff that I would be Survivor, Amazon. I did watch a movie this week. I watched the American Society of Magical Negroes. That is out on premium VOD.
Reggie, did you hear how easily that rolled off his tongue? He didn't even pause.
I know. But listen. Here's the thing. It's not in my normal everyday vocabulary, guys. Okay, it's not something I say. They called the movie that, so that is the official title of the movie. And like honestly, I feel like they don't even say it that much in the movie. So to me, like I understand like what it is, and I feel like Reggie on Cutting Room Floor at one point we had a category, and it was like Magical Negro. I think that was a category we had before.
That sounds familiar.
And like I thought about that, and I'm like, I don't want to say, but. It's the name of the movie. I'm not like doing it to do it, but like it's a thing. And like they talk about it. It's the movie. It's on posters. It's everywhere. And like I feel like if it was a shunned word.
It was when we were doing our like what actor do you think of for this character archetype?
Yeah.
And I think we all said Morgan Freeman for that.
Yeah.
Dawson, whenever you get done telling us about what you watched this week, can you turn your gain down more? I don't know. It's still kind of.
I just turned down a little bit there. I didn't realize. I guess I saw the trailer for that movie one time, and then it's been months, and I didn't realize it was a rom com. So I was like, "Oh, this is more of a rom com than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be just a comedy, and I was in for a rom com. But no, it was okay. I don't know. It's like a 7. It's fine. Nothing too crazy. I think that's about it. NCAA basketball. WrestleMania took up a lot of the weekend, so
yeah. Okay, Reggie.
Okay, so I didn't watch a lot of movies this week. Finished Invincible.
That's right.
Watched the latest episode of Bad Batch and decided I'm just gonna wait for it to finish before I watch the rest of it because I'm just not really feeling it. I was watching Three Body Problem, but then I started watching this show, Death and Other Details. It's a Hulu show, and it's kind of like Knives Out. Somebody said I would really enjoy it, and I started watching it, and it's just like captured me. So I watched the whole thing. So that's what I watched. Delicious in Dungeon, of course. And then I watched the movie Damsel on Netflix.
Millie Bobby Brown. Okay.
Yeah, it's not good. It's real bad. It's just her screaming at a green screen half the time.
That's what I said. It's weird. And like, there's weird, like, oh, there's stuff dripping on my face, and I have to, like, yeah. It's like, it's, okay.
Take it easy, Nickelodeon. Jesus.
Yeah, dude.
It was a very weird movie. But, and then also I watched Roadhouse. I don't know if I talked about that, but, I was very surprised by how that movie came out, and this may be blasphemous to say, but I think it was better than the original.
Okay, that's Reggie.
Two of us.
You haven't seen the original. I said this on the show. I'm like, people hold that original up in such high revere. It's not a like traditionally good movie. Like, it's not blasphemous that they remade this. I was entertained by it. Like, I don't know that I would say it's better than the original, but I would happily watch either one of them right now. Like, I had a good time with it.
So, yeah. And I was really surprised by, who's that guy? Conor McGregor, because I felt like he came to the set and was like, oh, I know what movie this is. Oh, and to the point where like, I was so entertained by what he was doing because I was like, you were just being extra for no reason, and I'm here for it.
Where the fuck is everyone?
Oh, let's go see what's going on over here, huh? Where the fuck is everybody? Fucking Conor McGregor. He says that acting is harder than doing UFC, so.
Dude, he has one of my favorite like introductions into a movie in the last 10 years in that. It's so good.
Just walking around butt naked.
It's so funny. You got anything else, Reggie?
No, that's it.
Hey, Rob's back. Hello, brother.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, everybody.
Would you like to tell us what you watched this week?
Yeah, pretty much like you guys watched the Star Wars, The Bad Batch, and Invincible. Did a little traveling this week. I watched the Dungeons and Dragons movie with Chris Pine and Michelle Rodriguez on the plane. And then I started watching on Netflix Parasite the Grey. And so the first, I don't know, there was like an anime that was a live action. I don't know, was there?
Yeah, there was an anime. Yeah.
Yeah. Was there another live action after that?
I'm not sure.
But yeah, this one is Korean, so it's a little bit different from the Japanese version. So you know, I'm just seeing how they differ from the original animated season series. And you know, and other than that, just watch the Monkey Man that we're reviewing tonight.
All right. Well, let's do some news real quick.
Cindy, the news is on!
Insightful.
Good news.
If the headline is big enough, it makes the news big enough.
Timely.
The news goes on for 24 hours a day.
Well prepared.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
Well, I got some bad news for you.
Do you want the Aladdin news or the Aladdin news?
The Aladdin news?
This is movie news.
Movie news. We got a couple things here, so I'm going to go through a couple of these. It's CinemaCon week, so expect some updates next week. CinemaCon is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, there's going to be updates from Warner Brothers. I don't think Marvel's involved in there at all. Sony might be dropping some things. No, you know what? I think Marvel is, because I've seen some moving posters for Wolverine and Deadpool. So I don't know. We're going to get some updates, but I don't know. It's a good time here. There's cool stuff going on with CinemaCon, so we'll give you updates on that next week. Let's see here. Dawn of the Jedi. It's a Star Wars film set 25,000 years before the events that we've seen now. So it's the beginning of the Force and the Jedi. Bo Willman. He will co-write James Mangold's film Dawn of the Jedi. Willmon was the writer behind the Narkeena 5 arc.
Oh.
In Andor. So the episodes that a lot of people really liked, I think it's the prison in Stellan Skarsgård's speech in Andor. So he's been tied to some things that people really like with Star Wars recently, so pulling him in to do co-write the movie.
Okay. All right. James Mangold. Every time I hear James Mangold's name, I just think of the Wolverine. It's not a great thing to have attached to your name. It's the first thing I think of whenever I hear his name. It's not great.
Well, you know, that's something. Let's see here. Moving along here. Amy Adams is going to star in a film coming out December 6th. The film is called Night Bitch. And it is a horror film that follows a woman who's convinced she's turning into a dog. Night Bitch in theaters December 6th. Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
You know, You know, over on Cutting Room Floor this week, which is available at patreon.com/cinemachatpodcast, I did it by myself and I talked about 2024 horror movies, what's come out so far and what's coming down the line. I did not have Night Bitch on the docket whenever I did that.
It's a sleeper.
Episode. It's so a sleeper. Add that to the list. That's wild.
That's the name of the movie, Night Bitch. Let's see. Oh, Dune Messiah. No surprise to anyone. Dune 3 is going to happen. Dune Messiah. Denny is back. The whole crew's back to make the third epic pure cinema experience. okay. of our lifetime.
All right. Yeah,
somebody saw it. What director? It was a James Cameron. I think James Cameron saw it. And he's like, "This is cinema." So,
really?
Yeah, he said. I don't think it was a meme like the Martin Scorsese one. It was like a legit, like, "This is cinema."
Okay.
So I get it. People love Dune.
People love it. It's great. I get it. Doesn't mean I want more, but I get it.
Oh, I definitely want more.
Yeah, I'll check out more. Why not? Who cares? More people in the movie theaters equals more other movies. Denis Villeneuve is set to direct a film called Nuclear War, a Scenario. The film follows the events that would happen if nuclear war began, based on information and interviews from military and civilian experts. So we're getting Civil War this weekend, and then next year we're going to get Nuclear War. So. Interesting. I don't know.
And then, like, 5 years after that, we're going to, or 10 years after that, we're going to be watching. We're going to be like, man, this movie was ahead of its time.
Yeah. We're just going to have copies of that on physical media. And it's like, look, kids.
It's going to be like everyone going back and watching Contagion.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, holy shit, this is so real. Okay, let's see here. I don't know anything about this. But Olivia Wilde and Margot Robbie are teaming up to produce a film. Margot Robbie signed a deal with Warner Brothers after Barbie. And so she's got the Sims movie working. She's got a lot of movies popping up. And this one is called Evangeline. So it looks, and the picture looked kind of like a Viking Valkyrie type warrior. So I'm guessing it's some type of badass action star. I don't know.
Is this based off of an existing property?
It must be. Reggie's knew about it. So I don't know.
It's one of those independent. I don't know of it. I don't know it though. I couldn't tell you much about it though.
Okay. Cool. Fair enough. Moving on here. Drew Goddard is set to write and direct a new Matrix film.
Why?
Because Warner Brothers wants people to go see things.
Hold on.
I don't understand how Warner Brothers, who had movies like Batgirl that everybody wanted to see, and they canned it and said it was too bad to come out, they have a movie with a Wile E. Coyote that everybody wanted to see. They canned it. It's not going to come out, but they're going to make another Matrix movie and nobody wants to see that.
I'd like to rewind about 10 seconds. Who is this everyone you speak of that wanted to see Wile E. Coyote?
There was a lot of people that, because especially when they were talking about like what the Wile E. Coyote movie was about, there was a lot of like goodwill for that movie.
Don't speak for me. also, I saw this announced earlier this week, and I feel like I'm taking crazy pills, because there are a lot of people coming to the defense of that last Matrix movie.
Oh, yes.
What?
Yes.
What happened? I thought we all agreed that was shit.
All of a sudden, that movie was meta, and it was really, like, the things that people are saying about that the last Matrix movie all of a sudden, like, oh, people just didn't get it. It was very meta. It was so of the time. It was so prescient. It was like the fact that it was going to be made either way. So Neo was being forced to make a game that he didn't want to. I was like, what are we talking about right now?
No, I got it. I understood everything about that movie. I'm pretty sure we all agreed it was terrible. And now I hear this movie get announced, and all of a sudden it's like the next great installment in the Matrix series. I'm like, there's only been one good Matrix movie. There's only been one good one.
Yeah.
We keep trying to make it happen.
That's the thing, is people like what they like, and they don't have to speak about the internet just to shit on it.
Well, I have a podcast, Austin.
I know. I remember so little about that last movie. Because it was so underwhelming, I barely remember any of it. So
it's bad. It's bad.
Yeah. You're getting more.
Oh, yay. All right. Let's talk about something I do want more of.
Yeah. Tim Robinson of I Think You Should Leave and Detroiters fame has he will co-star in co-write his own HBO series called The Chair Company. The series follows a man investigating a far-reaching conspiracy after an embarrassing incident at work. So Tim Robinson, one of my favorite people on the planet. I'm here for it. I'll watch it.
I already love it.
Yeah. I think that'll work.
That'll do.
Yeah, I say that'll do. Good stuff. Let's see. Okay. I think I only have one other story. Marvel's at it again, guys. We had to go ahead and take a great thing and make it a woman.
Ugh, MCU.
Gross.
The MCU has cast its
Shilver.
Julia Garner. If you're not familiar with her, go watch Ozark. She's fantastic in that show. I don't see her. I don't know anything about like how she matches with this female Silver Surfer character. It's not like this Silver Surfer. It's a different Silver Surfer from a different universe. Shal Ga something.
Okay. What's going on here is Norrin Radd is the original Silver Surfer. She is his girlfriend. When he became Silver Surfer, he forgot all his memories of his planet and his girlfriend / love. So, but it's an alternate universe where she became the Silver Surfer and not him. So that's what they're doing. Which, I guess, again, it goes to the problem of multiverses, is that I could see a world where this Fantastic Four is not from our MCU universe.
Absolutely.
They're from that universe. It gets blown up. They come over here. Yeah. And that's why she's a Silver Surfer.
Well, and there's a lot of speculation, too, because when they released the Fantastic Four cast announcement, they released a poster, and it looked very 1960s, and there was like a robot in there that's a Fantastic Four robot. There was a cover from 1963 Time magazine. But then on April 4th, 4-4 day, they released an image of Johnny Flame, and he's flying over a city, and it's a very futuristic 1960 city. So, and then this Silver Surfer. So it's pretty much confirmed that this is not going to take place in our Earth 616 universe that we're familiar with. And I'm sure at some point they're going to cross over, which maybe this Fantastic Four lineup is just for this one movie. Maybe it's not Pedro Pascal maybe there's a swerve coming, and maybe he's not our, maybe he's just going to show up in like a Council of Reeds at some point. But he's not our main MCU guy. Cause unless they come over, but then if they come over to our universe, incursions happen, and then it messes everything up. Unless it's after Secret World and everything's all combined, it doesn't matter. I don't know, but I don't think that these guys are going to be our main Fantastic Four, which is weird. Or maybe they are. I don't know. But it's definitely an alternate universe. That seems pretty for sure. I don't know.
Yeah,
I just an idiot speculating till next year when it comes out.
But a girl? Ew.
I know. Yeah.
What are we doing?
I don't want a female surfer. I don't want that.
Give me all men. I want an all men movie.
I want my Silver Surfer to be in like the,
just like a massive hog.
Yeah, I want to see that bulge on my surfer. I don't want to see
more like bulging surfer. More like bulging surfer, right?
Yeah, I don't need to see skin tight around her chest. I don't need to see that. Give me. Okay. That's all for news. That's it. News is done. We're out of here. We're done. News is
Last 2 weeks ago, we reviewed Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. We're going to talk about our scores and see if we want to change them. Let's see. I'll run through them really quickly. Rob, you gave a 6. I gave a 6.5. Reggie, you gave a 5. And Dawson, you gave an 8. Would anyone like to change, modify their score at all? I'm good with my 6.5.
Nah, I'm good.
I'll go up to 6.
You'll go up to 6. Okay. All right. Reggie's going up to 6. I need a color for when we change. Oh, it won't let me. You motherfucker. Never mind. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Rob, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Well, that doesn't change it much at all. It's 2 6s, 6.5, and an 8. 6.625. Still stream it. And let's do some box office.
Box office
results for the weekend of April 5th through the 7th, 2024. The 14th weekend of 2024. You good?
Oh, did you hear that?
Yeah, you weren't muted.
Oh, I thought it was far enough away.
Number one at the box office, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. We talked about it last week. Pulled in another $31.2 million in its second weekend. Number two, the movie we're reviewing this week, Monkey Man, did $10.1 million. Ghostbusters comes in at number three at $9 million. Debuting at number four, The First Omen, $8.3 million. And coming in at number five, Kung Fu Panda 4 adds another $7.77 million. And that's your box office for the weekend of April 5th through the 7th, 2024. Someone really quickly pad for just a moment because
here's breaking news. Something. Jonathan Majors was only sentenced to probation.
Yeah.
No jail time.
No jail time. Community service.
Wow.
Anger management. Okay. I'm sure it's something other than just anger management. I'm sure it's some type of conflict resolution.
Jonathan and I were talking about this and wondering if will he be able to come back from this? Do you think?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hmm. Yeah. People are still buying Chris Brown tickets and
it's true.
Going to buying his album. People support bad people.
I do think Reggie, I think his trajectory has been damaged. I don't think he'll reach the heights that it looked like he was going to reach, but I think he will still have a relatively successful career following this. So I think him being uber successful, every big role he gets mentioned with, I don't think that'll happen. But he'll continue to work after a period of time, I would say, probably.
Yeah.
I think it's more likely he recovers from this than Ezra Miller recovers their career. Yeah.
I say give him 10 years and he'll be like, remember the time he did this shit 10 years ago? Yeah. Well, he's a better guy now.
Yeah. So. Mm.
There's so many people get second chances for shit. I mean, Kevin Spacey is making movies. Not in America, but he's making movies.
I mean, he's had the fall, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, someone is still giving him money to make films.
Yeah, I guess.
I think he'll be bigger than Kevin Spacey.
Yes, I think so, too.
All right, I'm prepared. I didn't have the trailer. I forgot the trailer, so but I'm good now. So here we go. Three. What the fuck am I counting for? This is the beginning of the show. Let's do this.
3, 2.
And now our feature presentation.
As a boy, my mother used to tell me a story of a demon king and his army. They brought fire and terror to the land. Until they faced the protector of the people. The White Monkey.
There you are. You are a beast.
In this city, the rich don't see us as people.
Give me the job no one wants to do. I'll do it.
Anyone who forgets their place doesn't turn out well for them.
This is not the place to work if you can't handle that sort of stuff.
Every day, I've prayed for a way to protect the weak.
I've got an answer to every prayer. I call on Nikki.
Minaj.
Big bumper.
Nice headlights.
Let's boogie.
Monkey Man, directed by Dev Patel, written by Paul Anguilla, John Kalee, and Dev Patel, starring Dev Patel, Shartil Copley, Pito Bosch, Vipin Sharma, Sikandar Kerr, Aditi Kankunti, and a whole bunch of other people. You good, Dawson?
No, kudos for getting through that.
Hey.
You didn't mess any of them up.
Sometimes you just have to, you know, pretend like you're supposed to be there kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I did not hear about this movie until like a few, maybe like 4 or 5 months ago. And it was coming out very soon. And I was interested because Dev Patel was directing, and I think this is his directorial debut. So I was excited about that. And then it looked like it had John Wick vibes. It just looked kind of badass. So I was kind of all in on this. I was excited for it. I heard that story that Jordan Peele had seen it 3 times and really felt like it deserved to be on the big screen. I think it was originally a Netflix movie.
Yeah, so it was a Netflix film, which Netflix wasn't even planning on releasing it. Like, mm-hmm. They were going to shelf it. And then Jordan Peele saw it, and he's like, we got Universal, give him $10 million for this movie. Yeah. And they took it, and then it's released, and it made 10.2 this weekend or whatever it was.
Yeah. I was all in on it, very excited to watch it. Dawson, what about you?
Yeah, I had like the same thing. I didn't hear anything about it, but we saw that trailer 2 months ago, something like that, and I was all in. It looked badass. I like Dev Patel. I think he could be big at some point. Like we were just talking Fantastic Four. It would have been cool to see him. A lot of people were pushing him to be Reed Richards, but I could definitely see him doing that. Because, like, you know, I've seen him Slumdog Millionaire, Green Knight. I think it might be all I've seen him in, but I do like him. Yeah. I definitely like what he does. But yeah, movie looked awesome. The trailer looked very John Wick action. And I'm fine with that. Cause like we've liked like John Wick and Nobody. Give me more of these type of, spins on that type of just hand to hand combat, kicking ass. I'm all in.
I'm telling you, you got to watch The Raid. You have to watch The Raid.
I know. And I just saw something that people were like, this movie's like The Raid, but something else. And I can't remember what it was, but it's a new movie that's coming.
Oh, Kill.
Maybe it was Kill.
It's India.
Yeah, it was like The Raid on a train.
Yeah.
And it's India's most like violent and gory film, and it's coming out this summer.
Yeah.
And it's called Kill.
What is it called?
It's called Kill.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
The subtitle was like, it's like The Raid on a train and it's violent. But yeah, dude, I was very excited to see this movie.
Rob, where were you at coming into this one?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Dev Patel. And when I saw the trailer for this film in the theater, I was totally into it. I was like, oh shit, it's going to be like the Indian John Wick.
So, that's what, yeah, I mean, that's what I kept hearing everyone say. It was Indian John Wick. Yeah. Indian John Wick.
That's how I told my dad. I'm like, let's go see this movie. It's like the Indian John Wick. And he's like, okay.
Reggie,
what, Slumdog Millionaire turns into John Wick.
Reggie, what about you?
Chai Wala from Mumbai, India.
Yeah, like, I'm a fan of Dev Patel, so, like, I was already there just hearing that he's going to star in an action movie, and then I saw the trailer, and it looked amazing, and also, it was being marketed as, you know, Indian John Wick, so I was like, of course I'm in for this, I'm here for this, so, yeah, I was excited to see it.
Okay, well, let's talk about the obvious question here. I think we all described it as being pitched as Indian John Wick. Is this movie Indian John Wick?
It is not Indian John Wick.
It is not Indian John Wick, is it?
No, it's not. And I don't know that it's fair to call it that anymore.
It's not. It's an unfair comparison, really.
So wait, hold on. Hear me out. This is what I got. And as a very big Bruce Lee fan, I love the dragon. And is this more in vein of a Bruce Lee West like kung fu film than it is a John Wick film?
That's
what I got from this, was like a kung fu guy just like coming from the bottom up and like having to fight the big bad boss at the end type of thing, right? Like that's what I was getting from this movie. That's what it felt to me after watching it. I'm like, this feels more of a kung fu martial arts film than it does a John Wick film.
Sorry. I forgot about the time Dawson says favorite Bruce Lee movie was Dragon, the Bruce Lee Story.
It's the best one. It's the best Bruce Lee film there is.
I mean, this is essentially like action martial arts, you know, revenge movie. Not too dissimilar from like a Jason Statham or something kind of a movie. I mean, much better.
Much better.
Because there's a better story. I think the cinematography is better. Like, this feels like a serious film, as opposed to your typical action movies from, I don't know, like the 80s or 90s or something like that. But I mean, it is in those veins, because it even has a montage at one point. You know, it's a guy on a revenge quest. Like, at one point, he gets the shit beaten out of him, and then he has to recuperate and kind of find his inner self, I guess. And then, you know, goes on in a killing spree. So, I mean, there are things about this movie that kind of elevate it from a simple action movie. Like, I think the storytelling, if you're patient enough to get through it, though, because I saw this with Jonathan, and at one point I leaned over and said, something doesn't happen soon, I don't know how I'm going to handle this, because like there's a lot of flashbacks, and I'm like, I get it. You know, like, I feel like they hit you over the head with the flashbacks, because it's like not telling you the whole story, but it tells you enough of the story that I'm like, I get it. You know, like, your village was destroyed when you were a kid. I don't need to keep going back to that, because you're not going to show me the whole thing that happens. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I do feel like there's 20 minutes of this movie that could probably be cut out.
Yeah, I disagree. Could they go to it less? Maybe, but not like a huge amount. And I don't think I think it just feels like there's the flashbacks are not extensive. There are many, but they're not super long. So maybe it just felt long.
There were times I kept waiting for the nonstop action, and we really don't get that till the third act, like the final half hour of the movie. So I'm kind of with you, Reggie. Like, it was kind of slow. Maybe they could have done one flashback scene, maybe two, to give us the context. Because like, we got it, right? Like, okay, his mom died, and then like you can, you know, like, but it's like, the village died, and then his hands, like, there's all these clues throughout it, and then you are piecing the puzzle together, but I don't know that this needed all of the puzzles to be pieced out.
Yeah, that's kind of like, we could have done
the whole, because like, we understood, like, the cop is his, he doesn't like the cop, because I'm assuming that it was the guy who fucked up his house. We didn't even get that till the end. It's like, oh yeah, and then we knew it was his mom. Like, we knew, so maybe he was his dad. That's the only thing I had. Like, maybe this cop is like his dad who like bolted on him, type of thing. But then they're too close in age, so I don't. It was just like a weird.
Here's the thing. I didn't really have any problems with the pacing of it or the amount of action or whatever. I think there is a little bit, and I'm not saying this is what's happening with you, Reggie, but I've seen some people complain about the amount of, or the lack maybe of action, or how long it takes to get to certain amounts of action. I think John Wick might have fucked some people's governors a little bit on action movies. John Wick has an excessive and extensive amount of action in it. Not that that's a bad thing, but I think it is sort of changed some people's barometers as to what an action movie should be. And this is a different kind of movie. And I think that whenever you go into something expecting it to be India John Wick, you know, it can kind of play tricks on you a little bit. I didn't really have that problem personally. I was kind of digging the story they were telling, and I was liking getting some breadcrumbs here and there. And I think probably this movie's greatest strength, it has some good action in it, and I did enjoy the fight scenes. But Dev Patel is a phenomenal actor. And I think he's proving with this that he can be a good director. I think that this movie has really good emotional beats, and I think it really... I think Dev Patel in particular does a really good job of portraying this character and the emotions behind it, what's driving the action. It's not action driving the plot. The plot is driving the action. And I dug that. I liked this quite a bit more. I mean, I would have had fun with Indian John Wick. I would have. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I wouldn't have come in here and talked about how great Indian John Wick action was. But I like the movie that I got quite a bit, actually. So I was in on it. Rob, what about you?
Yeah, I didn't have any pacing issues. The only thing I could say in the second act, when I guess I don't want to spoil too much, but like when the character is like reinventing himself, they took a lot of time to kind of like build that him back up. And I think that they could have like maybe tightened that up a little bit because it did seem it was a little repetitive on some of the notes in there. But yeah, I really enjoyed the film. And the one thing that kept popping up in my mind, I was like, wait a minute, is this, why am I seeing so many like Asian looking Indians? I don't know if anybody else noticed that, but then like after the movie, I found out that they filmed it in Indonesia and not in India, because they filmed it during the pandemic and they were having trouble getting the film going. So they filmed it on an island in Indonesia. So I was like, oh, interesting.
Okay.
Just
India, yeah. Is
in Asia. Indians, yeah. Are Asians, but
yeah, I know that. I'm saying India is South Asia, but there were a lot of Southeast Asian looking people in there. You know, some people can discern the difference. So then I looked and it was filmed in Indonesia. So
yeah,
I see what you're saying.
I did. Okay. Reggie, what do you want to talk about? I know we got a hard out, so I want to.
I'll just say that my only complaint, and this is something that I don't know how I feel about. now knowing more about how this film was made, like there were a lot of things that happened on set that, you know, not that it was like a terror set or anything like that, but like Dev Patel apparently broke his arm and I think his foot or something at one point.
He broke like two fingers and two toes or something like that.
Yeah. And then they had like production camera people kind of pull out, and like some of the scenes where they filmed, apparently the spaces were too small for them to use their cameras and their rigs, so like they had to really improvise. So like one of the complaints while I was watching this movie was, I was like, my god, it's 2024 and we're still doing shaky cam for a fight scene, you know, because I was like, some of these fight scenes are kind of garbage, because I was like, you know, like it's just shaky cam, you don't really see what the action is happening, and then some of them were freaking amazing. I was like, this is how you shoot a fight scene. And I was like, some of them were borderline incompetent, and then some of them were like next level amazing. So I was like, so it must have been a choice. And I didn't, as I was watching it, I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. But like now knowing the problems that they had, and they made the film with like $10 million or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah,
like
so,
it's almost a beautiful thing that this, you know, that they were able to do what they did.
There's two things on that. The budget was extremely tight, so they had to film part of this movie with GoPros and iPhones. So that's where like you're getting some of that, where like an iPhone is very capable of doing like some very good photography and video, you know, and filming, but like it's not going to be perfect. The other thing is when Dev Patel broke, it says here he broke his hand, two toes, a torn shoulder, and an eye infection. He had to, for some of the movie, he had to change the blocking because he couldn't throw one of his hands because it was broken and his shoulder was bad. So they had to reverse the fight. Instead of a two-way choreography, it was just one, and he was kind of dancing around some of the stuff, and he's like, you're not nearly as fast when you can only fight with one arm. So a lot of the time, like for those scenes that might maybe looked funny, he just couldn't have been, he had to like basically dance with like he couldn't fight. So that might be part of it.
That's a fact.
Yeah, so that's why, like, I was like, well, I don't really hold it against it, and it's almost a boom for that. You know, like, when you find out that they had all these problems, I almost give them more credit for being able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad also they didn't overdo the action. Like, remember the first Extraction where it got, like, a little bit overboard? Yeah. I'm glad they didn't go down that route.
Yeah. Well, we just have just a few minutes left. Rob, what do you want to talk about?
I think it's a really enjoyable film. I expected it to do more at the box office this weekend, but I guess it's more of a niche film. Not everybody's wants to watch it. But I would recommend everybody go and watch it. I really enjoyed myself. Greg didn't go with me. He was like, he wasn't interested. But yeah, I definitely would recommend this movie to friends.
Reggie, we had Greg on the show last week. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard. It was fun.
Dawson,
I noticed. I thought it was funny that Rob tried to use Greg's score to bump up the movie.
I know, right? He's like, we're not going to use Greg's score. No.
Oh, speaking of Rob, I want to say, I thought that you had one of the most brilliant comments. Like, and it explained to me why I hate these Godzilla movies, because you said that they're like the Transformers movies, where it's like you want to see all the Transformers, but all you're getting is the humans. And I was like, oh god, that is why I hate these movies. Because yeah, you're right. You know, like Godzilla's only in 10 minutes of this movie, and it's like eight. They're treating him like a movie star that they only have for like one day, and it's weird because he's a CGI character.
Probably costs way more than a cameo from Robert Downey Jr.
See, here's the thing about that though, Reggie. You say that whenever I watch the Transformers movies and I watch these movies. I do not give a flying fuck about these fight scenes. I don't care. They're not good. Mm. They look like shit. It's just a bunch of moving shit. I don't care. It does not, there's no weight to the situation to me. I don't care about what's happening. So if you gave me a movie with nothing but that, I would hate it even more. So I'm like the I'm like the opposite. Like something like Pacific Rim is great, but you know what? You know what Pacific Rim has that these fucking movies don't have? Great human stories, great human characters. It does. It does, Reggie. It still does. There's a story behind them that makes sense. This, the fucking Godzilla Kong movies, there's nothing in them. There's, the closest you get to that is Kong Island. Not Kong Island. Skull Island. It's the closest you get to a sensical human story. And even that movie's fucking dog shit. I hate these movies. Why am I talking about this?
Yeah, moving on.
Dawson, anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No, I mean, I think this movie's great. I think it, I'm glad that I got to see it in theaters. I'm also thinking like this has potential to be a franchise if someone wants to run with it. We didn't talk about Charlotta Copley.
Charlotta Cooper. Copley.
He's awesome. I love him in everything that he's
done. Yeah, he was great. He was great. Also, the actor who played Alfonso was really funny too.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like he could have been like a sidekick in an Arnold movie or something. Like, you know, that's like he got that vibe of '90s action, like the villain who's too stupid to be the villain. He just is trying to make it. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. I got elements of John Wick. I got elements of a superhero movie. There's a lot of things in here to really like it. I couldn't tell if this was based on, I don't think this is based on anything. I don't think it's based on a manga or any type of comic book or anything, because it's an Asian property. I don't know if it's like an Indian or Asian comic.
The way you said manga just sounded so dismissive.
Oh, you picked up on the way I said manga. the way I pronounced manga, not manga. It's not manga. It's manga. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad we did this movie.
All right. Let's give some scores and get out of here so Reggie can get to bed. Rob, why don't you go first tonight?
Yeah, this was a good movie, a lot of story. I like the folklore that they mentioned in the film as well. I love Dev Patel in everything that he does. He's got a really great career ahead of him. And Charlotta Copley.
Yeah, he's not an easy one to say.
Charlotta Copley was funny as hell. Also, Peter Bash, who played Alfonso, he was also hilarious. And I do hope that they do make a sequel. They kind of like left the ending ambiguous. So, you know, maybe we'll get another one in the near future. But yeah, I would highly recommend you go check it out. It's also good, you know, to see, you know, some cultural diversity in the films, not, you know, about being in other countries and stuff. I think it's like I mentioned before, there's like some folklore and some religious and maybe some political stuff in here, but it doesn't detract from the story. So I'm going to give Monkey Man an 8 out of 10.
All right. Dawson, what's up?
I like this movie a lot. It was great. One of the more fun times I've had at the theaters this year. Pretty fun original story. Good action scenes. Had a little bit of drag time in there, but I'm not going to take too much away from that. Way to go, Dev Patel. I'll give this a 9 out of 10.
Okay, I'm going to split the difference between you all. You know what? No, fuck it. I'm going to give it a 9 too. I really enjoyed it. Especially for someone that I haven't seen do anything like this before. I think Dev Patel is great. I enjoyed it. I liked the action. I did not have any problems with the pacing myself. It's a really fucking good movie. I liked it quite a bit. So, Reggie, what about you?
I like I said, the only problems I have, I think, were the pacing. I do think that there's stuff that could be cut out. That being said, I also think that it kind of... the slower story does kind of pay off So I think it's worth it. If for some reason you have a problem with that, it's worth it when you get to the end and get to the whole story. So I think other things that I would have detracted from, I think, are only pluses considering how shoestring the budget was and the things they had to do to innovate and make the movie. So it's great action, well acted. It's a really good story. So I'll give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Okay. 2 9s, an 8.5, and an 8. That's a 8.625.
And I'm really here for it.
That's a fucking see it, bitch.
Yeah.
Go to the theater. Go see it.
Is that our second highest rated movie of the year so far? Looks that, like it.
Yeah, behind Dune Part 2. No.
Book of Clarence is just a smudge higher.
Wow. It's tied with American Fiction as well.
Mm. You know what else I think was funny? Well, I don't know. I'll just say this. I think the movie sometimes, I wouldn't mind if they had explained the movie a bit. You know, sometimes we complain about movies that treat their audiences like they're stupid. I think this movie at times treated us like we're too smart. Like we're dumb Americans. I don't know a lot about India. So like there were things that were happening. I'm like, I wonder if it's a cultural thing that I'm not understanding.
Oh yeah. There's for sure some cultural stuff. I just chalked it up to that as well. Like I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know what this is, but I know it's something. And I have a feeling it's like an Indian thing. It's not really for me probably. Hey, you know?
Yeah.
And it didn't detract.
I will say that there are times that they threw up subtitles when they were speaking English, and yeah. I really appreciate that. And I know, like, I know my theater or the theater chain that I go through, they were advertising like open captions. So I guess that just means it's on the screen the whole time, right? Because I don't know what open captions means besides closed. I know closed captions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
but it said open captions on certain showings, and then I got hit with a couple subtitles. I'm like, okay, I appreciate that, because there's times like there's some of these guys that are very, their accents are very thick, but I like being able to see right there, and that's, I appreciate that.
Well, it was very much like they do this on television shows sometimes with people with accents in particular, or whenever like with a reality show where maybe the microphone didn't pick it up quite as well, where it only shows it whenever they think you're going to have trouble understanding it. And I did notice that the few times that they used the subtitles, it was whenever it was spoken with a particularly thick accent. So it's almost like they were anticipating, okay, we don't want to change this, but people might have trouble understanding this. And they threw it in there because it was kind of picky and choosy, because I don't know, it was interesting the way that they used it. But I also was thankful for the times that it came up there, because it did seem like it was whenever it was a particularly thick accent on a line reading. So, Dawson, you look like you're looking something up.
I was just looking to see, because I had never seen open captions before.
Mm-hmm.
And it says open captions are captions that are permanently visible in movies, TVs, and online videos. Like closed captions or subtitles, they display important audio information.
What the fuck is a closed caption then? Is that because you can turn it on and off, like on your TV?
Yeah, both. To decide. Okay, the key difference between open and closed captions is the fact that open captions are always on and can't be switched off, while closed captions can be turned off by the viewer. Additionally, special devices called decoders are often needed to control closed captions for TVs and movies.
That's a fact.
Gotcha. Oh, I used that one twice. Gross.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh,
and that's a fact.
You know
that's
what? A fact. I didn't mean to press that one either.
Fun fact, I just learned recently.
That's the one I wanted. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the show this week. We're coming back next week with Alex Garland, A24, Civil War. We're going to be talking about that next week. I'm hearing really good things. I saw someone posted their letterbox and it was 10 stars instead of 5. So,
wow. Anybody can go that high.
Let's fucking go. Let's get it. All right. We'll see you next week, everyone. Bye-bye.
You don't need to follow me. You don't need to follow anybody.
But you can follow us. I'm Brent, and I am...
It's not Malcolm.
And he's Rob, and he's...
Rob.
There's also Reggie, who is...
Hidden.
We can't forget about Dawson at...
Andy!
_ Dawson.
Don't forget to follow the podcast at CinemaChatPod on Twitter. And check out our website, cinemachatpodcast.podbean.com.
I'm following you now. I'm just going to follow you everywhere. I'm just going to follow you the rest of my life.
Thanks, Peter. Now, if the rest of you would get off your ass and follow us, that would be great.
Mail, motherfucker!
Oh, and don't forget to send your emails to cinemachatpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please, send us something. Have a good week, everyone. Goodbye.
Reggie, my eye was just burning, and I was like, oh no, did I accidentally look at the eclipse without my glasses on for a second and not realize it? Turns out I just had an eyelash in my eye. I'm good. Crisis averted. Don't worry about me.
You're still here. It's over. Go home.
Oh, and don't leave your garbage all lying around. It's a total dick move.
Go.